Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
8:34 Central African Time. I'm really having a beautiful morning with you, and you, and alhamdulillah, all the lovely messages coming through, really keeping us buoyant, full of smiles, the bonny face. And also joining us is another action man. He is known as a firebrand of politics, our very own Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Iman. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing? It's fine. A beautiful morning. KZN is cold. It's cold.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to call full temperatures, particularly the ANC conference that's taking place. It's been very heated, but I think they needed some cooling off, and alhamdulillah, beautiful weather to relax and stay at home. And with some nice popcorn, and of course, I think I'll leave the rest to you for a Sunday morning.
Ahmad, popcorn, bhajiyas, chutney, hot chai, and a bundi and sev. I think you remember the bundi and sev that we used to get, and that peanuts and, you know, lovely roasted. I believe you used to go to the Victory Lounge, or did you go to the Mullahs for that, or the Manjuras? Who you went to, Ahmad?
Brother Shafat, you know, let me go much deeper into that, you know. I remember it was a Saturday morning, very early Saturday mornings. And I was the kind of person that wanted to go everywhere my father wanted to go. I used to literally cry, scream, because I want to go where he goes. And every Saturday morning, of course, you know, those normal baskets that we had, they used to carry those and take it and go to the morning market, fresh market, to get you the latest, freshest vegetables and things like that. Of course, Victory Lounge to go and get those chili bites and lovely fresh bundi serve and the bhajiyas, of course, you know. That is what life used to be. We used to look forward to it, you know. And, of course, yeah, those are, I think, some of the things that should come back. That's the kind and way of life that we need back, so that we could be more relaxed rather than the stressful life that we live currently. Well, of course, I'll be with you. Okay, go for it.
No. I like what you said there, because it was, even that sponge cake with the tea tasted so different. And, you know, when you spoke about the basket, I mean, I remember going with my grandmother, you know, my on the maternal side. May Allah fill her qabr with noor. And she every Saturday was going to the to the market, and there she used to actually bargain with all these different vendors there, and they used to say, okay, this, that, and I think for was it 5 rand or 2 rand 50, you could fill the whole basket up. You could even buy your eggs, and you could buy a chicken and come out of the place. But there was an ambience about a Saturday shopping. And, you know, even you talk about the guy that used to walk, if you're watching a soccer match, with a basket full of candy floss, and used to have that sweet popcorn that, as you spoke about, used to have that toffee apples and those monkey nuts. I mean, those were memories, but they were so wholesome. Ahmad, perhaps did you you talk about that Indian market? It really had a vibe, Ahmad.
Everything you could bargain for, Brother Shepherd, you would hardly ever pay the price that they asked, and it's unlikely that they would have ever rejected the offers that you would put. So you were able to bargain and get things for next to nothing. They made a living out of it. And of course, you got a good deal out of it. That was the beauty of it. But you are correct also. It was not unusual on the streets to see guys going out, screaming out popcorn, toffee apple, you know, and things like that. Yes, it was a norm. And I think we used to look forward. But remember, we used to also go out doing window shopping. And we used to buy these things and walk around doing window shopping at night, late hours of the night, absolutely safe and secure. You didn't even have to worry what you had, what you didn't have, what you were wearing, whether you had those 22-carat golden bracelets and bangles and jewelry. You didn't have a problem. You didn't have to worry about anything. What a beautiful life. No, did you know, again, I must say, the other day, my niece, I think, was telling me about how, you know, the steak and chops can't be what it used to be. You know, how it used to come out soft and succulent and tasty. You just can't get it like that anymore. No matter how much you try, you can bring in the greatest chefs you want. Food has just changed. And I don't think it is the people that has changed as such, but I think it's the quality of the food, you know, with everything that's going into feeding these animals and whatever it is today. I think that's where the problem is. Maybe people, we need to start going back to that healthy living. But remember, we live in a capitalist society. It's all about money and profits. You would hardly find a government that would rather concentrate on creating a more healthier society. If you had to do that in a country like South Africa, can you imagine how much of resources you would save? What a more healthier society, what a more productive society. People will live longer and healthier lives instead of the pain and suffering that they go to. If you've noticed, Brother Shafford, you know, the death rate amongst the younger generations today is a lot higher than even the older generation, Brother Shafford. So people are dying a lot younger. And they say you are what you eat. And it's and 80% of your diseases or sicknesses and things come from our lifestyle, what we eat and what we do and how we live our lives, you know. So maybe it's a time to reflect on that and go back to our roots and start living that healthy life. You know, those that veg and things that used to be cooked, even though you'll have a bit of meat and or chicken or whatever it is in there. But the focus was on that veg, but healthy, absolutely healthy. Now with everything that you have, they say the nicest spices are coming from India and here and there. And, you know, but believe me, you know, you go to the restaurants and you just look at all the restaurants on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, how people flock to these restaurants. But in those days, everybody used to flock to the home. Because they were all sitting at the same table, extended families, and having a nice meal together. So, yes, it has changed. And that's why we have so much of, I guess that's the why there's a need for so many medical practitioners and physicians and specialists in all fields. You hear today of illnesses, Brother Shafford, that you've never heard before. Never, ever heard before, you know. Some of the things that you hear today of people, the medical conditions that they got, you would wonder where did these things come from, really? What is the root cause of these things?
Ahmed, it's such a blessing to have a man of your stature here, and you really bring it alive. And I was reading an article that you said a lot of the youngsters are, you know, succumbing to illnesses, and most of them have medical aid plans, and they have become regular, you know, patrons of the hospitals and the medical fraternity. And, you know, as you spoke about chicken, I was just reading an article last night about Zulu chicken, the real chicken, that the organic chicken that runs in the garden. And today, you know, people are buying, there's a battery chicken that comes out that only lives for about 6 weeks, and the meat is tender, soft, injected with hormones, and people are eating things like that. But yesterday, Ahmed, I'm sure you recall when the family member came, maybe from Pietermaritzburg or from Hardington or Richmond, and then, you know, the menu was decided on the spur of the moment, and they'll run around looking for the hen or the rooster, and they say, murgi pakro, and they'll all chase after the rooster or the hen, catch it, and, you know, slaughter it, defeather it, all everything done. And people ate fresh meat. I mean, it wasn't the BB bread. They used to make that hatka roti there and then. You know, the roti was soft and fresh. And everyone enjoyed it. But I don't know if you, you know, enjoyed that type of ambience of yesteryear.
Brother Shafford, there was no such a thing as that, you know, you went out and you never found those chicken that you have today. No, you certainly didn't find it. And you're absolutely correct. Murgi is the word, you know. And yes, fresh from the farm, growing in your own vicinity, in your own community. This is what they used to do. And I think, you know, it was a very big thing, Brother Shafford, when family members, extended family members were visiting. Because remember, if you needed to come from Maritzburg to Durban, it used to take you like a day, I think, to come. You know, because of the roads and whatever it is. So a gathering of that nature was a special occasion. It's like people are, you know, like now how you think you'll be seeing some relatives for the first time in 10 or 20 years coming from abroad. That is exactly how it used to be. People were coming from Maritzburg to Durban. And in my case, my mom is from Pietermaritzburg and my dad from Durban. So you can imagine what, you know, how it used to be like. But very importantly, I think, you know, yes, when people were coming, it was such a welcoming, I want to tell you. You didn't need to go and have the luxuries of what people do today to welcome some person that's coming or relative after 10 or 20 years. In the little that people had, the simple life that they lived, the fact that they caught the so-called murgi or chicken in the yard, that they grew up right in front of them, healthy chicken, not what you're eating. You are correct. 6 weeks, it might be even under that they have born today and eaten tomorrow, you know. And today it was cut, cleaned, everything done there and cooked. And that's why you felt that taste. And that's why people live longer and healthy. I mean, let's be honest. A thing of being a doctor or going to a doctor was never, you've hardly ever heard anybody talking about going to a doctor. I don't know. I've never heard. I think when I fell through my own fault, even my poor dad was blamed for it. You understand? And hurt myself was the only time I went. And that too, I didn't know I need to go to a hospital, Brother Shepherd. No, I went to the same doctor from there. They took me. He did the stitches and solved the problem immediately. You didn't need to go to the hospital and go to the casualty ward. And then the doctor said, no, let me admit you for this x-ray and that. And no such a thing. You went there, got the stitches done, and come home. That's it. That's how simple it was. So you can see how we have actually moved. If there's anything we need in our lives, is to get back to that kind of life. I mean, look at today, Brother Shepherd. The healthiest people you think they are, the people that you think are the healthiest, and as young ages, you hear in the next thing the person has got this illness and that illness and that illness. We've never heard of these things, Brother Shepherd. And if the experts are saying you are what you eat, and a lot of these things, or 80% come from what you eat, then should we not, as a caring government, caring parents, caring families, shouldn't we be going back to healthier lifestyles rather than getting old? We say we love each other. But if we love each other, you know, they say you have to be cruel to be kind. So stay away from the things that really, you know, that is going to harm you. People take alcohol, yet it knows it's going to harm you. They're taking drugs, they know it's going to harm you. They're eating this kind of food in all these franchise stores and whatever it is, which is so unhealthy, yet they know it is going to, you know, harm you. We used to go for those long walks, like I said, window shopping, this and that. There were hardly much transport, but people used to walk miles. But it was a form of exercise. It was excitement. You'll go in groups of people. I remember I was running one day with a bottle. I don't know whether I went to buy paraffin or whatever it is, and I slipped and fell and cut myself, you know. And that was a big thing in that community, that close-knit community. Big. It was a massive thing that I fell and cut myself. Today, even if a person is in the ICU, you don't even hear any family members making an attempt to even go and see the person.
Ahmed, you make a lot of sense, and I'm looking at a message on the screen here. Hamid Bhai says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. You are such a magnanimous man when it comes to politics also, but sharing your words, you're making me tear. I remember when visitors used to come, Ahmed Manzoor, that we even had the Gudris and the Gudras kept aside with the pillows for the visitors. When anyone came from Cape Town or Johannesburg, it could be 5, 6, or 10. We entertained them. We all slept on the floor. And I can tell you, there was food galore because people were not fussy. Today, they are living in B&Bs and they're living in five-star hotels, wasting money instead of having the same mohabba that we had at extended families and friends. Ahmed, you really bring it alive. Hamid Bhai makes a very valid point indeed, Ahmed. As you said, when the people came, even it was 5, 10, we never got the ghabraat. Today, one person comes, people get into ghabraat mode. Where are they going to sleep? Where are they going to stay? Talk to us, Ahmed.
Absolutely, Brother Hamid is absolutely correct. Yes, a norm to sleep on the floor. Isn't that the reason why nobody had a backache, eh? That's why you never hear people complaining. This shoulder is paining and that shoulder is paining. No, nobody complained about that. They slept on the floor is absolutely correct. But you can feel in his words that warmth, that love, that passion with which things were done. And yes, of course, Brother Shepherd, just look at that. In that time, we had very little, but we enjoyed every bit that we had. Look at what you got today, and look at South Africa is one of the countries with the highest level of wastage, food wastage in the world. That's how bad it is. And sometimes you ask, why are people wasting so much of food? It's because of the quality of the kind of food that you actually get. But in those days, of course, it was wholesome. You lived together. You were never short of anything. Brother Shepherd, you didn't have a lot of shops around. And even if you needed to go to the shop, it was very, very far away. But there wasn't a time that anybody was short of anything in their home. They didn't have a lot of money or anything of that sort. They were never short because most of the things that they needed, they had growing in the entire, in their yard. Like you said, they had, I don't think they used to call it chicken. They used to call it fowl, I think, at that stage. That's the term they used to use it.
The fowl run.
Yes, fowl run. They used to say, yeah. And they used to say, fowl rogue, but be careful for fowl rogue. Yeah, but the fact of the, in a joking manner, but the fact of the matter is absolutely correct. People came. When people were coming from a little distance, like I said, even if it was from Maritzburg, like Joburg, Cape Town, it was an effort to get from point A to point B. So when they came, it was like just they're coming in a special occasion. Today, somebody's coming from another country, it's like normal, it means nothing. Somebody came today, next week they're going back, means nothing. But there was so much of love and passion and togetherness, you understand? And yet, no cell phones, no telephones, absolutely nothing. You couldn't find the post office, you couldn't find anything nearby. It was an effort for all those things. But what a mashallah life, what a healthy life, what a, you know, there was so much of love. And, compared to today, I think it's really, we need to ask ourselves, is this what we really wanted in life? Really, is this what we really wanted in life? So, you know, from those hot bajias on, you know, our people didn't earn a lot of money, brother, but, you know, with what little they earned, there was maximum value came out of it, no doubt about it. And that is, even when they cooked at home, today you'll find the wives, the mothers, the husbands saying, you know, some of them saying no salt in the food, no this, let's go there, that restaurant gives better food, that one gives, you know, no, let's today try this. Or no, everything was at home and that was the best you could ever find. Nobody had any faults about anything. In fact, I've never known one day in my home, in my lifestyle, that anybody ever complained that there was either less salt or anything of that nature. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. We enjoyed together. Family get-togethers was like, you know, such an excitement, so much of love, so much of passion, so much of togetherness, you know, that everybody were just happy. And you're absolutely correct. There was no such a thing as where is this one going to sleep or where that one is going to sleep. No, there was no such a thing. We all slept on the floor if we had to sleep on the floor. Put those blankets. Put that gudra, that's the word we used to call, yeah? Put it down there and sleep. And so what?
Allahu Akbar. And then we had our favorite cousins that came from that part of the world. And we'd be talking till 2, 3, 4 in the morning, Ahmed. And, you know, having lovely chats and so forth. And all that added to the ambience. And perhaps, you know, so much of memories are coming through there. Allah bless you for that, Ahmed, for really indulging us.
Don't forget about Ahmed? The sunny you used to play till midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Carom board, Tani, yeah, everything, Ahmed. Alhamdulillah. Allah bless you for that. Well, getting back, we look at our government starts a process to deregulate 93 octane. The Department of Mineral Resources and Energy has started the process of deregulating the price of 93 octane. Minister Gwed Mantashe gazetted proposal for public comment on Friday. What's going to happen there, Ahmed?
Well, there's not enough information on that other than the fact that, you know, he's putting a maximum price. I think more needs to be done in terms of that. But what it's going to do, Brother Shepherd, is going to cause more competition. So people on the ground might be able to get fuel cheaper. However, I must tell you, it might at some stage. Remember, everything's got its pros and its cons. Right now, service stations are making a lot more money than they ever made. If you remember many years ago, they used to make 5 cents or 3 cents on a liter of fuel. Now they are making well over a rand and things like that. So that is going to get cut down, whereas there's going to be competition. You understand? And, well, of course, we do need competition. But it might at the same time discourage people from going into owning fuel stations and things like that, service stations, because at the end of the day, your profit margin is going to come. There is a lot of risks attached to it and things like that, a lot of hard work and things. So, yes, there is pros and cons as far as that is concerned. But, of course, any form of competition might help to bring the crisis down. I know the president has, I received correspondence yesterday, is calling for a meeting with our leaders in parliament for tomorrow morning at 8:30 to discuss the issue of Eskom. So let's see what plan he comes up with tomorrow morning. But on the issue of you know, fuel prices and rather sharp, you know, some survey that was just done now tells you that people are really having it, shoppers are really struggling when it coming to be able to buy what they did normally buy as a result of the high prices. The prices are rocketing, brother. Somebody said yesterday, 8,000 Rand once again a price, a ticket from Durban to Cape Town. Shocking. But more importantly, you know, the basic food stuff that you rely on, you know, is the price is exorbitant. And I think to some extent, the big guys in the country are taking advantage of what is happening. It's time for them to make profits by the looks of it. I see the president has acknowledged or says that we should take note of what is happening in the Ukraine-Russian war and the impact of wheat. Why do you need a war to let you know that you've got some of the most arable land in the world, and that you have one of the highest unemployment rate in the world, okay, and that you should be growing your own wheat, because we do grow our own wheat in this country, but the own wheat that we grow is captured. That's the word I should use. By these same big people like Pioneer Foods and things like that, okay, because they buy these crops before they even grow. So what stops us from going out there and empowering even small-scale farmers and things like that from growing their own wheat? Why do you need a war to tell you that? So, you know, he needs to be reminded of those things. But, you know, this for me is just opportunism, because we wait for things like this to make statements just to garner support and things like that. But you don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that you have got land that can grow your own maize and your own wheat. If Ukraine can be one of the highest exporters of wheat because they've got the land, and you have got the land, and you've got the climate, you've got the resource, the natural resources to grow your wheat, why you too can't become one of those major exporters of wheat? Why? That's the question we need to ask ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely, Ahmed. And as you said, you know, these conglomerates are buying up rice fields and this and that, and, you know, dumping excess food into the sea. I mean, we know what's going on, but we see that Thabo Mbeki is not happy. And former President Thabo Mbeki has slammed the leadership of the government for their failure to address the challenges facing the country. And also Mbeki criticized President Cyril Ramaphosa for his failure to keep his promise and the damage the Pala Pala scandal has caused. It seems like Mbeki is not pulling his punches. He's punching it left, right, and center. Is there a knockout or a TKO? I don't know, Ahmed.
Brother Shepherd, first of all, he might be right, but he mustn't forget that he's a member of the NEC. He is one of them responsible for the policies that they make, you know, and the decisions that they take. I mean, let me give you a good example. Even on the issues of these airline, SAE, SOM, the decisions are made there. Cater deployment decisions are made there. Everything is made there. If you know your policies, then what is the purpose of your NEC if you know your policies are not working, things are not working? Have you been raising it? Or what is the purpose of being on that NEC if you can't make input that will somebody will consider and take seriously and change the direction in which you're moving? So it's easy to go out there and attack, and rightfully you are attacking the president. But should he alone be taking responsibility, because all he is doing is implementing everything? Of course, he doesn't implement everything. If you look at Palestine, he doesn't. Okay, so he's very selective because he's in the pockets of white monopoly capitalists anyway. But be that as it may, it's not him alone that must take responsibility. The whole ANC government must take responsibility, because they take these decisions, these policy decisions. They don't look to anybody. They don't engage with anybody. You know, they said, so other opinions are not important to them. So no point in him only complaining when he's in a position to contribute effectively and bring about that change in direction, so you can create those jobs and deal with the issue of poverty in the country. So, yes, it is very easy to sit back there and criticize other people and ask ourselves, what are we doing? A good example is all the political parties that are governing wherever they are. Let's take rural KwaZulu-Natal. What has changed in the rural KwaZulu-Natal for the people in the last 28 years? Nothing. It's gone progressively worse, actually. So these people that are governing there, what have they been doing there? Now must you blame the president for that as well? No. You must equally take responsibility for it because you've got the opportunity to do something. You can go out there and go and bring investment to those areas. You can put in programs that will benefit those communities instead of getting them all to rely on handouts. So whilst I agree that with some of the comments by former President Thabo Mbeki, I also believe he must take responsibility because he is in a position, president to president. Why is he not able to sit down and say, but hold on, CR, this is not working. What can we do differently? Surely there are engagements that are taking place. So we know that NEC of theirs meets every week or whatever it is. They have their policy conferences. So, you know, I'm not totally in support of what he is. There is merit in what he's saying, but he must also take responsibility for where they are.
Absolutely. I'm on the ball there. Spot on with you. Perhaps your parting words this morning?
Well, you know, there's a new leadership of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal. He says Zeka Lala has gone with
the... RET.
RET has succeeded. Can you imagine? And you know what? One of the reasons for that, brother? Because Zeka Lala, on the ground, people have heard his comments that he is in support of CR. So as much as he was popular to take this, he's got a bashing because it's quite a massive difference, 900 and some odd to 600 votes. It's quite a bashing. But it clearly indicates that the all is not over yet. and so I think we need to be just careful and mindful that the fact that the RET faction has succeeded in KwaZulu-Natal, it's going to perhaps bring some level of instability because what is going to happen now, brother, despite them saying things to the contrary, they are going to target the others now. There's no doubt about it. That is black politics. You must target each other. So they're going to start targeting those that are in influential positions at the moment and want to remove them so that they could play. Zandile Gumede, you saw what happened. She withdrew a nomination as the treasurer, and that is why the others got in as anyway. But all in all, I think the difficulty, I think there's going to be some relief in terms of fuel prices, from what I've heard. But really, Brother Shafat, it's very difficult for our people on the ground. Very, very, very difficult. And I want to urge our brothers and sisters, wherever we have that little extra wastage of food is very high in our country, think of somebody else that may not have enough. So rather, when you're dishing out, Brother Shafat, don't put too much in your plate that you throw half away. Take a little. What is left, they give it to somebody who might really be hungry, and there's lots of people hungry there, rather than wasting the food that we do.
Well, a wise word from a wise man, Ahmed. You have a mashallah. Blessed day ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.